It's New Year's Eve, 1999. You're listening to the BB Sky C, where it's time to look back at the 90s. This week, 1996, a year that will always be remembered for this dramatic announcement.
And so, it is with great sadness that after more than 40 years, I have reached the conclusion that I can no longer fulfill the role that the nation expects of me.
Yes, Jeanette Charles finally retired, after admitting she looked nothing like the Queen. The year began with record January sales, one shop taking over £10,000 in the first hour alone. Someone bought two compact discs. But as always, the aftermath of the festive season had its sadder side.
It's 2 a.m. on the streets of Birmingham, and dedicated rescue volunteers Colin and Pat are on patrol. Suddenly, Pat notices cowering in a shop doorway another abandoned hedge.
Well, look at that, a lovely little baby. Someone just thrown it from their car.
People see them in the garden centre and they just don't realise how big they get.
No. It's like we say, a hedge is for life, not just for Christmas.
So why do people buy them?
Well, the kids had been on at me for ages to, you know, like, get a hedge.
Yeah, it was a lovely little box hedge it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it started going over the fence in the next door garden.
Yeah.
Their hedge was lucky. It was taken to Battersea Hedge Home and found another family. But for the older ones, there's a different fate. Unwanted, unclaimed, they are taken out and buried in the garden.
In February, a huge tanker ran aground on its way to supply Britain's garages. A vast stretch of coastline was covered with oil, milk, newspapers, microwave oven chips, and cut-price cassettes by Johnny Mathis. But there was good news for environmentalists when Antarctica was finally declared a world park.
It's no good, Sir Reynolds! We'll never reach the South Pole!
Why not?
The park keeper's closing the gates!
Why, you two, can't you read? Keep off the snow! And put those bloody huskies on a lead!
The second ever world park keeper. The first one was, of course, a Norwegian. That spring, there was an outcry over a new Channel 4 series which contained a shocking number of sex scenes. None. But even in the liberal mid-90s, there were still some taboos to be broken.
Mother! Father! There's something I've got to tell you.
Well, come along. Don't be afraid, son.
I've decided to become Swedish.
Swedish?
Yes, for some time now, I've had this overwhelming feeling that I was born into the wrong body. That I was meant to be a Swede. But something went wrong with my jeans.
What?
They weren't all white and flared.
Look, have you thought this through, Derek?
It's not Derek. It's Bjorn.
The shame of it. A Scandinavian in my house, I won't have it. I won't.
Well, it's too late now. Yesterday, I am taking out all my savings. And then I went to the doctor and...
You don't mean...
Yeah... I bought his Volvo.
Look, why can't you face up to it, son? You're just plain Derek Thompson, son of Mr. and Mrs. Thompson. Oh, where did we go wrong?
Now look what you've done. You've upset your mother.
In April, after yet more fiascos, Group 4 Security lost their government contract. They were taking him from Whitehall to their head office. Meanwhile, rail privatisation was all set to speed ahead, then stop suddenly, lurch forward, stop again, then crawl along at 2 miles an hour. Meanwhile, the government turned its attention to another long-standing monopoly.
We believe that the time has come to sell off the 8 notes in the musical scale. Notes have to compete in the marketplace. For instance, A, D, and E could be extremely profitable, particularly with a new Status Quo album coming out. On the other hand, less viable notes may have to be closed down altogether. This one, for instance. It's only ever used by children and kittens.
Murdoch PLC has put in a tender to operate the note B. That's the boring old B. We're proposing to replace it with... It's exciting, it's new, it's a B for the 90s.
As a result of the bids we've received, this is the new deregulated musical scale.
Come to the Mogul Tandoori in Bedford.
We will also be raising revenue by issuing some new notes, H to Z. So from now on, the national anthem will sound like this.
Come to the Mogul Tandoori in Bedford.
Oh, one rather likes that version.
In May, an AA survey revealed that the average British motorist was now a 12-year-old boy on ecstasy. But joyriding was being replaced by a new craze, misery riding, in which teenagers stole an Austin Montego and sat in a traffic jam for 8 hours. Meanwhile, the lengthening queues meant more and more services being offered at traffic lights.
Oh, no, he's coming over. Oh, please don't.
Afternoon. Change your gearbox.
No, thank you.
It won't take a minute.
Oh, look, the lights are changing.
No bother at all. Have it done by,
next Wednesday? Not again.
Extra French tuition for the kids?
What?
Bonjour, mes enfants. Écoutez et répétez.
Go away! They did that bit on the North Circular.
Do your fillings, madam?
No, I do not. I don't want it done.
Professional hitman, madam.
Oh, thank you. There's 50p.
Look back at the 90s.
That summer, the government came up with a rescue plan for London Zoo. It involved selling ivory, leopard skin rugs, and lucky panda paws. As the 1996 football season got underway, a match between England and the Faroe Islands ended in one of the biggest giant killing shocks of all time. A win for England. And in an effort to attract more punters, the pools companies switched from predicting football results to the results of wars.
Iraq versus America. Away win. Mercia versus the Kingdom of Wessex. Late result. Iran versus Vinnie Jones. Away win. That war was not on your coupon.
In September, there was a new season of quiz shows, including What's My Fee? I'm sorry I'm doing this again. And
Are They Dead Yet?
Welcome to another brain-stretching edition of Are They Dead Yet? The show where we name famous celebrities and ask...
Are they dead yet?
Tonight we'll be asking our celebrity panel, Dean Martin, is he still with us? Jacques Cousteau, underwater or underground? And what about red rum, racehorse or dog meat? But let's have our first name, which is... Ginger Rogers! Your answer, please, Julian Clary's team.
Ah, yes.
Ginger Rogers. She's a stiffy, isn't she?
Oh, no, Julian Clary. She's definitely alive. I mean, she's on that trip. It's Fred Astaire, wasn't she?
Fred Astaire is he dead? Oh, dear, I thought he was alive.
Time up, I'm afraid. Derek Giler, what's your team's answer?
Oh, well, obviously, the answer to the question
Hang on a minute, you. Isn't Derek dead?
Am I? No, I don't think so. I was
Yeah, I think you're off. I think you're off.
1996. To the residents of Finborough Gardens, he was just an average, if slightly private man in his 30s.
Well, he seemed very quiet, you know, always polite.
Always paid his rent on time.
Well, he just seemed like an ordinary bloke. I mean, he just kept himself to himself.
But when, on the 14th of September, the police raided his house and took up the floorboards, they made a bizarre and disturbing discovery.
Blimey, he is just an ordinary bloke who keeps himself to himself.
Could you put my floorboards back now?
...1996 was also the year in which the Arts Council introduced enormous cash incentives for any radio show which contained a comedy song.
I've lived a month of Sundays, I've heard Big Ben is a bomb. I've contemplated bits of string and worked out just how long. But one thing still perplexes me, it surely must be wrong. Why do people always clap at the end of a comedy song? Why do people always clap at the end of a comedy song? Even though we're bored to tears by the chap they just wheeled on. The observations may be twee, as sharp as the sting of a bumblebee. So why do people always clap at the end of a comedy song? They don't have to be funny, they're simply filling time. The words are weak and punny, and the rhymes don't even work. Why do people always clap at the end of a comedy song? Even though the jokes are crap and the scanning sometimes just a little bit wrong. The laughter in the voice is fake, and the endings take too long. So, why do people always clap? I said, why do people always clap? I said, why do people always clap at the end of a comedy song?
As the new school year began, the Education Secretary condemned the general standard of maths and announced that he would be testing children every 3 years, at 7, 12, and 16. But the story that caught the imagination of the tabloids was a worrying case of parental negligence.
Mrs. Parker, you were the one who first called the police.
Oh, well, it was shocking. The poor lad's parents just left him there. He had to cook for himself, dress himself, everything.
Jamie, how do you feel about your mummy and daddy not being here?
I feel fine about it. I'm 47 and I'm senior partner in a corporate law firm.
Look, do you want an apple, Jamie? Or his mum and dad are in Spain.
Yes, they've retired there. I bought them a bungalow.
Jamie, I'm Dave. I'm your social worker.
Look, if you don't mind, I've got a meeting in New York and I've got to catch my flight.
Yeah, Jamie, we're taking you into care.
No, you're bloody not.
I know, you're bound to feel resentment.
No, get off me. I don't want to go into care. I mean, who's going to look after my house?
It's all right, Jenny. I'll be here.
In October, the Queen took the unprecedented step of publicly criticising the Daily Mail over a series of articles. They weren't about her. They were just very boring and badly written. That month also saw the famous newsreader strike. Meanwhile, in Brussels, the EC Agricultural Committee met to resolve a matter of grave importance to the European Community, the standardization of animal noises.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, let us begin by agreeing on the sound made by a dog.
Well, that's easy. It's woof, woof.
Woof, woof? I've never heard a dog say woof, woof. Dogs quite clearly say pow, pow.
No, it is wah, wah, like Snowy and Tintin.
No, woof, woof.
Wow, wow.
Wah, wah.
Let's start with something else. The sound of a cockerel.
Ah, you mean cockerico.
Nine, kickity-kick.
HMG's position is cockadoodledoo.
Cockerico.
All right, I suggest a compromise. Cockery-kickery-cockle, de-doodly-doodly-kickery-caw.
Oh, it will be night time before it's finished crowing.
No, we must agree on something, that is the cow.
Moo.
No.
No, I don't. Well, let us settle this once and for all. Bring in the cow.
Oh, thank you for coming. We'd like you, if you don't mind, to say moo.
Oh, you have to know what to say. Of course he's going to say moo.
There, you see, moo.
There's no M, there's just B.
I agree with the British.
Typical, you Germans are a bunch of sheep.
Actually, it's ba-ba. No, ba-ba.
We're acting like a bunch of farm animals.
So?
So, we should get a massive subsidy.
Here.
No, c'est bravo, bravo.
Nein, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Here.
As Christmas approached, over 200,000 milk bottle tops were sent into Blue Peter. Unfortunately, the appeal was for something completely different.
Hello. Well, this year, we're collecting something rather unusual.
Yes, we're asking you to send in all those unwanted minutes that we waste in our everyday lives.
Waiting at bus stops?
Fast-forwarding through all the trailers on a blockbuster video?
Standing in Tesco's behind someone who's forgotten to get their vegetables priced.
Just look at the Blue Peter appeal clock. A total of 3,442 hours that have been sent in already.
Over half of them by Terry Wheat.
So any time you've wasted, please send it in.
No, Jenny Soames has sent us to 4 hours she spent watching A Year in Provence.
And the Marquis of Blandford has sent us his entire life to date.
But how are all these minutes going to be spent? Edna Harris is 91 and hasn't got long to live. But thanks to you, we've given her another 36 years.
I don't want it. I'm bored with life. I want to go to heaven.
Oh, bugger.
The 1996 Blue Peter appeal, which turned out to be a complete waste of time, raising a further 236 hours. That Christmas, the biggest selling toy was
new teeny doll. She's just like a real teenager.
Hello, Mummy. I hate you.
Comes with a set of 5 sulky expressions, her own messy bedroom, and realistic slammable door.
I'm glad Daddy left you.
And why not get her totally unsuitable boyfriend, Madhead?
Did you score that dope for me?
Teeny doll, she's your very own.
I love you, Teeny.
Oh, you're pathetic. Anyway, I'm pregnant.
As 1996 drew to a close, astronomers made quite an important discovery. The world was going to end in 3 days.
An ordinary day in Manchester. But how will these people react when they hear the news that a meteorite is about to destroy our fragile planet?
This is Guy Walker saying, Janet, in editing, I love you.
That night, a hushed nation gathered round to listen to the Prime Minister's last speech.
people of Britain. The Earth is about to be horribly obliterated. But it's not all bad news. We're bringing forward our motorway service station charter.
At first, the authorities tried to carry on as normal.
And now, here is the long-range weather forecast.
Oh, well, it's a pretty changeable pattern over the next few days. Monday and Tuesday, bright, normal temperatures, and then on Wednesday, no weather at all. Just a few scattered fragments of rock spinning aimlessly through the void. So wrap up well.
Here is the news for the southwest area. And the meteorite that's going to smash the entire Earth into little bits could have serious consequences for the southwest region. Lots of local people are expected to be involved.
Day two was a Sunday, but most people decided against having a lie-in. Instead, the red-blooded English male had only one thought on his mind. To get down to home base, they could finish grouting those tiles. Meanwhile, millions of others turned to religion, besieging the headquarters of the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Wake up! Wake up!
It's 7 o'clock in the morning.
I know, but I've just read your leaflet, and I'm very interested in your concept of heaven as a badly drawn field full of children stroking tigers.
As the final day dawned, people sat in silence, comforting each other. Apart from one person.
It's been wonderful! It's the best day of my life!
How can you be so happy? Don't you realize the world's going to end?
The world? Oh, I thought they said the word.
But then, with just 10 seconds to go, the Earth was saved by a series of astonishing and wondrous events. Events which to us in 1999 are so well known that there's absolutely no point in going over them again. And so 1996 ended on a note of optimism and love for one's fellow man. People danced in the streets, hugged each other, and shared endless bottles of wine and beer. Then got a bit aggressive, chucked a wheelie bin through a pub window, and were bundled into a police van, shouting, "Waddle for England." Next week, we'll be looking back at 1997.
A Look Back at the 90s was presented by Brian Perkins. It starred Hugh Dennis and Kate Robbins with the writers Mark Burton, John O'Farrell and Pete Sinclair. The producer was Caroline Leddy.